Psalm 23. A loving father. I want to talk to you this morning about a loving father. God is our standard of a loving father. Psalm 23, many of us are familiar with this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you pray with me? God, I'm thankful for your word. God, I'm thankful for your spirit. God, I'm thankful for your love, for your grace that we don't deserve. For your mercy, for your forgiveness. God, I'm thankful for Jesus, for your sacrifice, for his willingness to come and to lay his life down for sinful men such as I. God, I pray that you would use your word, that we would stand still in this moment to hear your word. And God, that you would just use me as a vessel to bring forth your word. God, I know it's not of me. God, it's a humbling thing to stand and open your word before men and women and boys and girls and to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. And God, I pray that you would work what only you can do through earthly vessels. And God, I pray you'd be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 23. The perfect example of a loving father who leads, protects, and provides for his. I want to read it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. God leads. As a loving father, we need to lead those that God has given to us. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is the perfect example of a father that protects, a loving father's protection. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A father that provides everything, even to the point of salvation, by giving his son to die for us. Turn, if you will, over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Our Heavenly Father has given us an example in leadership as he draws men unto his Son. John chapter 6. And verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. God the Father has given us the example of leadership as fathers, to lead those He has given us to the Lord, instructing them in the ways of righteousness. Everything from instruction to riding a bike, instruction in riding a bike to tying their shoes. God has given it to fathers to instruct their children. Amen. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. God expects fathers to instruct their children from the simplest of things, as I mentioned, tying their shoes, to riding a bike, to the more important things of salvation and knowing Christ, sharing your testimony with your children, explaining to them what the Lord has done, and sharing with them the acts, the righteous acts of the Lord. Correcting them. Letting them know when they've done wrong. Chastening them, which is not fun for them or for us if we're in right spirit as an earthly father. But God, as our heavenly Father, does just that because He loves us. Chastening them, praising them, and one of the things that I fail to do, and probably if we're honest, many of us as fathers fail to do often, is encouraging them. Encouraging our children. Lifting them up. And you think of the times where God was pleased with Jesus and He spoke from heaven. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You think that kind of bolstered Jesus? You think that gave Him a little fuel to the fire? That the Father was pleased with what He was doing? Ephesians 6. If you'll turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. And if you won't, I'll read it properly. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." God doesn't want to provoke you or I. As a loving Heavenly Father and as our example, He doesn't provoke us to wrath. It's "the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." God doesn't want us. He says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." God does not want us to be wrathful. He does not want to provoke us to wrath. He does things for our good. I'll turn over to Colossians. Actually, just stay right there in Ephesians and look at Ephesians 5, and then we'll go to Colossians. Ephesians 5 and verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Followers. That means somebody's got to be leading. Who's following you, dads? Where are you leading them? "Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." If you will, turn over to Colossians. Chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Again, that word of encouragement, that word of praise, is going to build them up rather than tear them down or allow them to get torn down. The Father, the Heavenly Father, leads in the perfect way, in the perfect example of love. And His ultimate purpose is to draw men to His Son. Amen. For His glory. For His glory. If you will, turn to John. Actually, don't have to turn there. Just stay in Ephesians. Our Heavenly Father also provides for us because of His love through His sacrifice that He's given to us. Jesus, as we know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And God's grace toward us In Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Is it a little warm in here? Can we get a couple of the ushers to open maybe a few of these windows on each side? Thank you. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved.
Amen.
Whose grace? God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God has provided a way of salvation. God, through His grace, has given to you and to I His Son so that we could have eternal life, so that we could have our sins forgiven and not have to pay the penalty of our sin. God's provided a Heavenly Father. He also protects, as we saw in Psalm 23, where He protects us with His rod and the staff. He also protects us for eternity. John 10, if you turn over to John, chapter 10. A lot of turning. Hopefully you'll get to know your Bible a little better. John chapter 10 and verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. God holds us eternally. If you know Christ as your Savior, God has put protection around you. And as fathers, we need to put up protection for our children, for our families. We need to have boundaries, and we need to have standards. And people don't like to talk about standards, and I'm not going to get into specific personal standards, but we need to have those in our lives. Those are for our good. They're for our children's good. You think about it in this aspect. If we didn't have speed limits, what are speed limits for? They're for safety. They're for our good, right? They're to keep us going at a certain speed that everybody's just not going whatever speed they want. And anarchy and chaos is all over. It's for a purpose, even in that illustration. How much more important is it that we have boundaries for our families? Boundaries and standards. Things that keep them hedged in and protected. Not neglected, but protected. I tell my kids, you know, we live up behind here, and they can't come down to a certain point, especially the little ones, Victoria and Sophia, even though they want to watch as the older ones go. But there's a certain boundary that if they cross that, it's not good. And there's a reason for that. It's for their safety. It's for their good. Who knows if somebody's going to come through the parking lot and come around here? Even during the middle of the week, it happens. And a lot of times from the car dealership down the hill, people test drive and they want to try out the four-wheel drive on the gravel parking lot. I don't understand it. Anyway, but they, you know, who's to say somebody would come around here and they wouldn't expect some little two-year-old to be standing out there. So as loving parents, as a loving father, I have set boundaries in that aspect to say, you cannot go beyond here. You know, my older children, obviously they're a little more capable and able to hear the tires coming and get out of the way, more than likely. But those smaller ones, we have to set up boundaries. And it's for their good because we love them. Our Heavenly Father has done the same thing. He's put things in place for us to keep us safe because He knows what's good for us. Even though often we want to go outside of those boundaries because it feels good to our flesh, and yet it's not good for us. And oftentimes can be detrimental or even fatal for us. So, God is the standard of a loving Heavenly Father. A family is made stronger and happier by a godly example of a loving Father. A Father that desires for God to search Him, to try Him, and to lead Him. Turn over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. A family is made stronger and happier by a godly example of a loving Father. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my rising up. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Who knows you? God knows you. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? And the answer? Nowhere. If I ascend up to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uppermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. A father that desires God to search him, to try him, and to lead him is a godly example of an earthly father. A father that loves God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. A family is made stronger and happier by a father that loves God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. How you doing with that, Dad? Teaching your children diligently. The key word there in the beginning of verse 7. Doesn't just mean by happenstance or just by osmosis they'll pick it up. No, it means you need to teach them diligently. You need to tell them of God. You need to tell them of God's wondrous works, of His love for them, and of His salvation that He has provided for them diligently. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and the houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Are you guilty, Dad? Fathers, it's easy to be fat, dumb, and happy. Dads, it's easy to have everything and forget the one who gave you all that you have. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not, verse 14, go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. Stop there for a second. How easy is that to do? We get caught up with whatever it is that interests our neighbor, interests a relative, and all of a sudden we're off doing this on a continuous basis. I'm not going to say that hobbies are not bad, but when we get off chasing other gods, and we forget the one true living God, we get busy pursuing personal interests and forget God, forget our family, forget that we need to invest in our children, encourage our wives, strengthen them, build them up. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. A family is made stronger and happier with a father that desires for God to search him, to try him, and to lead him. A father that loves God, and a father that looks to the Savior. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm keeping an eye on the time. I've got about another hour. And I'm sure Pastor will hear that on the message, but that's right. It's an encouragement. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, looking back at chapter 11 of the Great Hall of Faith. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. A father that looks to Jesus is going to help a family to be stronger and happier for God. A father that points their children to the Lord, that wants to lead their children to Christ, is going to make a stronger and a happier family. A stronger family makes a stronger church. Stronger church makes a stronger community. Stronger community makes a stronger state. Stronger state makes a stronger country. Stronger country makes a stronger world impact. That our families would be strong fathers. That we would be leading them, providing for them, and protecting them as God has given us the example, as the perfect heavenly Father, the standard of a loving father. A father that looks to Jesus will also cause a family to be stronger and happier. A father that walks in the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 1. Oftentimes, it's easy to struggle with walking in the Spirit as the Father. You have many weights, many stressors, many things that are pressing in on you from outside at work to inside in the family. And yet God wants us to walk in the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it is weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." A father that walks in the Spirit is going to cause a family to be stronger and happier for God. A father that loves his wife. Ephesians chapter 5. A loving father that loves his wife. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A father that loves his wife. What's that love? It's sacrificial.
Amen.
It's sacrificial. It's one that's willing to give up for others. To give up what you want, what you have, what you desire for others' benefit. Now, if it's God's will, you don't give up God's will and God's direction. You follow God's leading. But if it's a personal preference, there's sacrifice in that. There's love that sacrifices. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus, the ultimate example of sacrificial love, modeled to him by the Father. The Son saw the Father do it, and that's where he learned how to do it himself. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. A father that loves his wife sacrificially will cause a family to be stronger and happier. 1 Husband that loves his wife sacrificially will cause a family to be happier and stronger. I don't want to focus this so much on fathers. It is Father's Day and this is a father's message, but this is to you husbands as well. So you're not off the hook. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Again, a father that loves his wife, a husband that loves his wife sacrificially, will cause a family to be stronger and happier. And then a father that loves his children will invest in them, in his time and his resources. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. A father that loves his children will invest in them his time and his resources. As our Heavenly Father is our example, who has invested everything for us. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, wells digged that thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. And you say, you just read that. Why are you reading that again? To show that God has given us the example here to teach, to take time to teach our children, to invest our resources in them, to show them the love of God, to teach them the Word of God, and to point them to the Son of God. The devil wants nothing more than to destroy you, fathers. He destroys the father. He destroys, devours, distracts, derails the father. Typically, there goes the family. And the devil would have nothing more than to, would want nothing more than to destroy fathers. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. The devil wants to distract. He wants to destroy. He wants to devour all that he can. And if he can start with the dads, with the fathers, he's well on his way to destroying the family. And look at the world we live in today. Look at the attack on the family. It's frontal. It is overt. It's not hidden. And it is of the devil. It's an attack on the family. And it's starting through the dads, through the fathers. Could go back through a little history lesson of the past couple hundred years, and probably many of you could do it much more in depth than I could, just to talk of how the families have become fragmented and fractured and, you know, divided because of different things, from industrialization to automobiles to, you know, all kinds of conveniences. And I'm not saying automobiles are bad or industrialization is bad, but it's definitely taken dads away from where the focus was intended to be. And hopefully we can get that focus in our lives as fathers, that we would be able to have strong families that would be happy in God. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Many of you know this verse. Be sober, be vigilant. So you teach your children diligently. It means carefully, on purpose. Then here it says, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, be clear-headed. Be focused. Be vigilant, determined not to be moved. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about constantly, continuously on the prowl. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who does he want? He wants any of us. But if he can get the dads, whew, he's got a prize catch, so to speak, a real feast for him to devour. And then he's going to go after the others. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Be sober. Be focused. Hopefully you have a focus, fathers. Hopefully you have a vision for your family. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Hopefully you as fathers have a vision for your family, for each one of your children that God's given you. that you're helping them to see and helping them to fulfill, and not just leave them to wander, not wonder, but to wander. The devil wants to devour you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be determined, fathers, dads, husbands, be determined that you're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, that you're not going to quit or give up, because the devil wants you to do that. The devil is seeking whom he may devour. Don't quit. Don't give up. The victory is ours, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has already claimed the victory for us. There's no need to quit. James chapter 4. Turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your heart, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You think of the example that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ when the devil took Jesus and tempted him. And Jesus' answer all three times was what? God hath said. God hath said. God hath said. Resist the devil when he comes, and he will. Resist him. Quote Scripture. Tell him, God said, and he will flee. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. As fathers, as husbands, as wives, mothers, as children, we need to draw nigh to God. We need to be near God, that he would draw near to us. Fathers, what are you seeking? Finally, Colossians chapter 3. What are you seeking? You seeking fame, fortune, comfort? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth, on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Fathers, what is it that you're seeking? Are you seeking that final verse, doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus, to give thanks to God and the Father by him? Or are you seeking your own glory? A family is made stronger and happier by a godly example of a loving father. We've been given the perfect example by our Heavenly Father. My question is, fathers, is your family stronger and happier because of your example? If not, ask God to help you, to lead you to be that godly example. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your spirit that works in us. God, I pray that you would take the feeble words that I've spoken, and God, the perfect words from your word, and that you would work in hearts and lives what you will, what you desire. God, I pray that we would yield ourselves to your spirit working in us. And God, that we would submit to you. And God, that you would be glorified through our lives. I pray for the fathers that are here. God, I pray that they would be the type of fathers that would cause their family to be stronger and happier for the cause of Christ. That they would be a testimony before their wives and before their children and before their communities. God, that they would stand fast. That they would be vigilant, steadfast, unmovable. And that, God, you would strengthen each of them through your word and through your spirit. And God, I pray that if there is any fathers here or anyone, father, mother, man, woman, boy or girl, that does not know Christ as their Savior, God, I pray that you would show them through your spirit their need for Christ. And God, that you would draw them unto Christ. And that they would humble themselves, bow the knee, and accept Christ as their Savior. God, I pray that you would be glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen.